And welcome to today's audiocast from AvWeb, the world's premier independent aviation news service, for this Monday, June 9th, 2008, brought to you by IFR Refresher, a monthly review of IFR rules and procedures designed to hone your skills and reinforce your knowledge. AvWeb's Mary Grady was on location covering AOPA's annual fly-in and open house in Frederick, Maryland on Saturday, and she caught up with Phil Boyer, who commented on a range of topics. Here's Mary's report.
So thanks for taking some time.
No problem at all. It's my job. That's what the members pay me to do, I guess.
Yeah. I guess you never tire of talking about user fees.
Well, I tire of it, but I think it's going to be something that those of us in aviation are going to be talking about either through till we're no longer in the left seat. That means we either died or we lost our medical. And it's not an issue that's ever going to go away. In fact, in 18 years I've been in this job, it's come up every time the FAA bill comes up, there's another attempt. I don't want to sound like a defeatist, and I hope it's the next century that we're really facing when they're finally implemented. But, you know, the gods are with us right now in terms of having what I would say won, but the problem is nobody's declared the victory quite yet. You know, the judges haven't looked at the tape if it were a horse race and said, oh, well, you clear win. When we've gotten a senator from West Virginia has indicated that he's backing off the proposal for a fee. He didn't say forever. He said, well, I'll agree with this as a first step to getting some of the things we need to do. And what we now do are struggling with is the aviation bill is ready to go to the Senate floor. The problem is the politics of Washington. Let's add on the Highway Trust Fund. Let's tag that on. Let's tag on this non-anything transportation part. Let's add on this. So the bill got bogged down with some 80 amendments that had nothing to do with aviation. And so obviously the Speaker pulled it. Then it got into a debate between the Republicans and the Democrats. The Republicans couldn't offer amendments. So now it's things completely out of our hands. I just hope we can keep Rockefeller where he said he'd be, and I'm pretty sure we will. And then it's whether we get a bill or we keep getting extensions. But members should realize that we're past even the midpoint of this flight. We're in a holding pattern right near the final approach fix. And it's just how long are we going to have to hold? If I stay with that analogy for a minute, June 30th, the taxes expire. So let's say, okay, I'm in the holding pattern, but how long can I hold? If they don't renew or extend it again, then A, we don't have to pay taxes, but B, the FAA gets no money. So I think you'll see some movement here have to see movement by the 30th of June. Most likely scenarios, without belaboring this because we've so much coverage on AvWeb and others, is that probably get another extension, could be September 30th. That's the end of the fiscal year. Could be till the end of the calendar year. I don't think that's going to bring us much because Congress is going to be so engrossed in the election, then a new administration. Could be until early next year. And I hope if they do anything, first choice would be 3-year bill because we've argued and everything else a year of the 4-year bill. So a 3-year bill and get it passed. Or I would say number two on my list would be of choices would be extend till September 30th of 2009, giving time for the new administration to take over, regardless of Republican or Democrat. So that's kind of where it is, a holding pattern. Our fuel won't run out. We're poised. We're ready for anything we need to do. And it's just that it's kind of frustrating. We can't go ahead and make the approach land and get on with other things.
So when you say extend a 3-year bill, you mean in September?
Sometime between now and September.
Okay.
Sometime between now and the end of the year, if we can. Major holidays coming up for Congress. Let's just realize that. Mm-hmm. You know, they took off the week of the change of the month here. Mm-hmm. They're going to be taking off for the 4th of July. There'll be a extended, and these are built into the calendar, holiday mm-hmm. in August, because they need that to get back. You know, all of the House of Representatives has to be reelected. So they need to get home back to their districts and a third of the Senate. So a lot of activity will be going on there in the meantime.
So how do you think the national election will affect all this?
Well, I don't know. I'm probably like everybody else. How long has it been going on? About 3 or 4 years now, the national election. But at least we now are counting down to, I guess, two presumptive candidates. You know, at the moment, there's no way to know. We really don't know Obama's position on transportation. We know McCain, back in the mid-90s, was a user fee zealot. At the same time, I've met with Jim Burnley, who was a former Secretary of Department of Transportation, just about 6 weeks ago, who is one of McCain's transportation advisors. And he said, no, the senator may be looking at this in a new way. Awful hard when our country has issues like Iraq, the economy, the Middle East, oil prices, for anybody to be thinking, well, what do they think about user fees, when I'm really interested as a citizen of the United States of electing a president who can solve some of our bigger issues. Not to the pilots, this isn't a big issue, but we as pilots all have to live here in this country, and these other things are also significant issues.
Mm-hmm. And how about fuel? How is that coming up on your agenda?
Well, it's coming up as a disaster area, the same way it is for anybody who drives a car. We just finished some research because we are constantly asking our members what they think, and I think it was 40% of our members are significantly decreasing their flying because of the price of fuel. 37% are decreasing, or slightly decreasing, their time. A full 6 out of 10 say they're flying less, and two-thirds of the members are indicating that of the greatest ills that fuel is, two-thirds of the members saying fuel is their greatest concern about cost of flying, not insurance any longer, not hangar rents, not price of airplanes or repairs, but fuel. So it obviously is, I am extremely sympathetic to that as somebody who has to drive by the pump every day since we're located on an airport. Very little we can do about this. I'd offer a challenge out there that when the AAA solves it, the Automobile Association of America solves it for the car and driver population, which, and they got a larger membership than we do, then we'll take a clue from whatever they did and try to apply it to aviation. But as you can see, they're not doing anything at the gas pump.
That's right. Yeah, I guess there's not a whole lot they can.
There isn't really.
No.
Yeah.
Now, if you have time for one more topic.
Absolutely.
I know another thing you're close to your heart is new pilot starts.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the latest on that? Is that also being affected by the economy and the fuel,
would
think?
Well, definitely the economy affects new pilot starts, mm-hmm. Particularly for those who are learning to fly in the age group 35 to 65, actually any age group at this point, but some of the career-bound people are still attending the schools. We were just at University of North Dakota, which is one of our leading aeronautical universities in this country, and a state school, which is kind of interesting. And they were reporting that for the first time ever in their aviation students, these are freshmen all the way through seniors, that a majority were not going to seek careers as airline pilots. A majority. That means more than 50%. Whereas you used to go to any of the schools, Embry-Riddle and others, and what they wanted to do was be an airline pilot. It's a function of the economy, a function of how uncertain the airline industry and certain airlines are, and a recognition by them. Gosh, I've gone through 4 years of college. Maybe I should be flying a plane, but instead of a dispatcher telling me what I'm to do, and a flight planner doing this, and ATC doing this, and going between city pairs the airline serves, maybe I'd be better off in the corporate world or medical helicopter or other kinds of flying as a captain. And, mm-hmm. You know, let's say a Gulfstream 5 ain't so shabby, but at least I would be making better use of my education than that. And it was very interesting. But it right now, with the ills of the industry, it isn't a great career. But there are still those people out there who want to learn to fly for pleasure, or actually now to avoid the airlines if they can. If they've got a job that requires them to keep getting on and off the airlines in two or three states, gee, a single engine plane can do that if you're in the right climate at the right time of year. So we still see the numbers down. Economy's going to take a toll for sure. But we're still plugging away. As members know, we ask them to help us try to figure out what to do. That's where, and I usually, when I'm at my wit's end, I say, well, we've got 400,000 members. That's 400,000 more voices than we have in the building here. And they've come up with some fantastic things that we'll be implementing and testing over a period of time. And AOPA is committed to invest a significant amount in building the pilot population. I mean, a significant amount, much more than our industry, which is very focused on just selling things rather than thinking, well, guess who buys new airplanes, new pilots? Mm-hmm. So we're working on several items in one of our recent pilot town meetings, which many of your listeners attend. In Milwaukee, Minneapolis, and Chicago, we had a little breakout session. We asked our members to come to the pilot town meeting, hear about user fees and all these other things, bring a friend that might want to learn to fly, maybe somebody from the office, and then we run a breakout session. We start out, but we don't want them to hear about user fees. They'll never get into it. They go off to a room almost like Sunday school in church, now mm-hmm. like kids to leave. They go off, and they get a completely separate lecture. We rent the room from a flight instructor, one of our Air Safety Foundation people, and at our fly-in, by the way, he did three sessions. I poked my head in one of them. And then they walk away and they have the name of a flight school, a full kit. In these three cities, however, we've been doing this for about a year, we gave away a rebate certificate, sort of, that if they went out, took an introductory flight, had the instructor sign it off, returned this card with a receipt, we would reimburse them for the introductory flight. So when I say our commitment is here, that's just an example of putting our money where our mouth is. Now, we did it in three cities. We're going to wait for those results to come in, but we'll get results because a person wants the money back, just like you when you get a rebate on a package of batteries or something. You send it in, they know who you are, they know you buy batteries. We'll do the same. So, and if it works, I just figured $1 million, and we might spend five times that amount, $1 million would get us 10,000 people a year in the left seat. Now, once you usually take that flight, at least 50% are going to continue with flying lessons.
Really? 50%, you think?
In some of the mm-hmm. surveys we did with Be a Pilot and things, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then, of course, there's a completion rates below that. But, you know, all this depends on the flight school.
Right, yeah. So you're willing to spend up to $5 million a year on
if it's needed. But once again, not just throw it away.
Yeah.
On proven, tested concepts. And here's mm-hmm. one. You can see how easy this mm-hmm. is to test. Mm-hmm. We took three cities. We didn't go around the country, make a national event.
Mm-hmm.
We have a feedback mechanism to get the money. They have to send us back the card. We now have the flight instructor name. We have the person's name. We can follow up with them. Well, did you go on after this flight?
Mm-hmm.
See?
And it can be any flight school or
yeah.
only approved
no, we're not
or
doing
certified
anything.
Or anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. And anything else?
No.
On your agenda?
No, I'll say hello to all the management team there. And
okay, definitely.
Okay,
well,
thank you again.
Thank you.
Mary Grady speaking with AOPA President Phil Boyer on location in Frederick, Maryland on Saturday. Today's report was brought to you by IFR Refresher. You can learn more or subscribe at www.ifr-refresher.com. IFR Refresher is packed with strategies and tactics from some of the nation's top CFIIs, airline captains, and corporate pilots who fly the system every day and really know what makes it tick. Comments on today's audio cast. Welcome audio news at avweb.com. Thanks for listening.